think I'm sorted. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you that we can come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that as our worship goes up to you, you reach down to us. And as we look at your word now and your calling to us as a church, would you continue to move amongst us by your Holy Spirit? Where there is sickness, will you bring healing? Where there's oppression, will you bring freedom? We mend broken lives and bring everlasting joy. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. As Simon said, you join us in our series over these Sundays in January, looking at the vision that God is calling us to as a church over the next 5 years to the end of 2020, our five-year vision, our 2020 vision, looking particularly at three key areas. Simon looked at the first of those last week. These areas perhaps are nothing new to us in the life of a church, but they bring to us a bit of a sharpening and an urgency and conviction in what he has called us to do together as a church. Hopefully you've all got your bookmarks from last week. Simon went through the first of these key areas, reach, to reach our local community and beyond with the good news of Jesus. Our expanded definition, to reach every generation in our local community and beyond with the gospel so that unsaved people become committed disciples of Jesus. With our three faith goals over the next 5 years, to have a church of 200 regular adult attenders plus youth and children, to be seeing frequent salvation requiring multiple baptismal services each year. It's fantastic that we've got new estates going up in Aylsham, and we pray to God, please bring people into those estates and into this town and other communities, other towns and villages, people that will come and join us. Lord, you said the harvest is ready, so please send us the workers. That's great. But we also want to see people coming to salvation for themselves. We believe God has spoken to us about first generation Christians, the first people in their families becoming Christians, meeting with God and getting saved. And we long to see growth through that. And that's going to require multiple baptismal services each year. And then to support that, to have established at least 20 midweek groups with Aylsham's surrounding villages and towns, a key focal point. Groups where we can meet together midweek and nurture and love and care for one another as a church, where we can disciple new Christians as they get saved. It's what we believe God has called us to do. And Simon shared a prophetic word that our friend Adrian, who was with us last year, shared with us as a church, the theme of the river kind of underpinning these three key areas that we believe God has called us to. And this is what Adrian said to us as a church. You are a church of the river, a church that is to gather around the water. I felt God that was saying that he was wanting to change course of the river, to raise it again, to flood it out. Looking ahead, I saw the river changing speeds, the water speeding up, the landscape changing. The river had been gently meandering, but now I saw white water ahead. In white water, the river has a life of its own, bubbling up with a new, challenging, but exciting pace. It is time to prepare and dress for action. You will get wet. Who sits where in the boat becomes very important when you hit white water. There will be some moving around required. There will be a time to put some things down which are now too cumbersome for white water. Don't forget the past or change your values, but there is a sharpening up that needs to happen. This theme of white water, of the river gaining momentum, of laying some things down, of pace coming. It's a great word. And also, we looked briefly last week at Ezekiel 47. We're going to start there today, just looking at a couple of verses, 8 and 9. So if you've got your Bibles and want to turn to that, it might appear on the screen. Ezekiel 47. And he said to me, "This water flows down into the toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. Where the water flows into the sea, the water will become very fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes." This beautiful picture of the river of God flowing out from his presence, flowing out of the temple, flowing eastward out of Jerusalem. And wherever the river of God goes, it brings life with it. And it flows eastward, east from Jerusalem, is down towards the Dead Sea. It may say that in your Bibles as a footnote. As it flows, this river flows into the sea. That is the Dead Sea, where nothing can live, where there is no life. And so the river of God flows, and it brings life. It transforms the sea that is there. The sea water that is dead becomes fresh, bringing life to it. The word fresh is used, is the same word in Hebrew as healing. And in other translations, in the King James and the New King James Version, actually uses that word. The water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Isn't that just a beautiful picture that where the river of God flows, it brings healing and transformation? Isn't that wonderful? Excellent. If somebody who knows how to use the computer could just go and help Ben, I'm sure he'd appreciate that right now. So would I. It's a wonderful picture of God's river flowing. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, no doubt you would have heard numerous talks or preaches on John chapter 4. And that's where we're going to head now. Before we look at the next area of vision that we believe God has called us to, I just want to go through this well-known story and just pull out a few things which I think will be helpful to us ahead of looking at this next area of vision. It's the account of Jesus and the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, John chapter 4. Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Just so you understand the geography of that, we've got Judah in the south, Galilee in the north, and Samaria dividing the two. So to go from Judea to Galilee, Jesus has to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Let's just pause there and just reflect here on what is happening. So Jesus has been traveling. He's been ministering before he's traveling, and he comes to this well, and it tells us that he is tired and he is weary. The disciples, realizing this, they clear off into the nearest town to get some food for their meal. And they realize that and recognize that Jesus just needs a bit of space just to recover a bit because he is tired and weary. As we go through this account of what happens next, just bear that in mind. Jesus is starting from a place of being tired and weary. And yet he has this astonishing encounter with this woman. If you are tired and you are weary and you think that God couldn't possibly use you, then just remember that as we look here at what happens between the woman and Jesus. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. We don't have time to go into that today, but just take that as read, that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on, let alone a Jewish man speaking to a Samaritan woman. It wasn't the done thing. But here we have Jesus and a Samaritan woman. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gives us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus and the woman get into this discussion about water and drinking and thirst, and the woman misses the point. She completely misses the point. Jesus is talking about living water that quenches thirst. That quenches thirst forever, quenches spiritual thirst. That spiritual desire in people. And that if this woman was to receive that living water, she would never be spiritually thirsty again. But she says to Jesus, give me this water that you offer so that I won't have to come back here to this well. She's completely missed the point. She thinks Jesus is still talking about physical thirst and physical water. So Jesus tries a different approach. Jesus, who is sent by God from heaven to earth, born a baby in Bethlehem, who grew up as a man, who was baptized in the river Jordan, and when he was baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life in the form of a dove. Remember that, when the Holy Spirit came upon him? Jesus now steps out in a gift of the Holy Spirit. He drops into the conversation a word of knowledge into the woman's life. She's missed the point about spiritual thirst and physical thirst. So Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus drops in this word of knowledge, and the woman recognized this Jewish stranger that she's never met before as being a man of God, a prophet who hears from God and reveals things to people. And so they get into this conversation and the difference between the Samaritan people and the Jewish people and how they worship and who they worship and all that kind of stuff. But this woman knows. She knows that there is an expectation that God will send his Savior, the one who'll come for God's people. who will save God's people. She says, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will reveal everything. She knows to look out for the one who God is sending. And then Jesus says, yeah, and the one you're looking out for, it is me. The one who's speaking to you, it's me. Let's just consider this woman. She is poor. If she hadn't been poor, she would have had servants to come to the well for herself, to bring water back for her. But she doesn't have any servants. She is poor. She isn't rich. She was alone there at the well. We'd expect her to be at the well. If she herself had to come and get the water, well, we would at least expect her to be there with other women from the town for friendship, relationship, and to be together in that group for protection, at least, from wild animals and from men. But she wasn't. She was alone. Perhaps she was something of an outcast because this is a woman who had a past, who had a history. She had had five husbands. We don't know what happened to them. Don't need to speculate about that. But we know that she's not married to the man she's now with. We don't know the details of that relationship either. But we know this woman was poor, she was alone, and she was a woman who had a past and a history. But then she has this encounter with Jesus. She receives from Jesus an invitation for living water, for life-giving water. She receives that invitation directly from God's gift to her, Jesus. She receives a word of knowledge from God. Jesus is concerned about all the aspects of our lives. She receives this word of knowledge that how could a stranger that she's only just met at the well possibly know the details of her past, the details of the men she'd been with? And then she receives from Jesus this revelation as to who he is. She understands that God's Messiah is coming. And then she is told by Jesus himself, it's me. I am the one you are looking for. The encounter with Jesus brings healing and transformation to her life. Look at what she does next. The woman left her water jar and went away from the town, into the town, and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. This woman and her encounter with Jesus, suddenly she's become the town's greatest evangelist. And all she's done is shared her story. It's just to bring a word of testimony that I've met with Jesus. He's told me all I ever did. Is this him? Is this really him? God's Messiah, God's the one that God is going to send to save his people. Come and meet him. Come and see for yourselves. This woman who was poor, this woman who was alone, this woman who had a history is transformed by her encounter with Jesus. The result of her telling her story and her testimony. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you've said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Because of the woman's testimony, the town come and investigate for themselves. They believe her. They believe that this could possibly be Jesus. And so the town invite Jesus in. The town invites Jesus to be with them. and they spend time having their own encounter with Jesus until they come to the point of their own faith and their own declaration and proclamation as to who he is. They say, yeah, we believe because of what this woman said, but now we believe ourselves, for we've met with Jesus and we are declaring that he is the Savior of the world. This woman encounters Jesus. She is healed and transformed, and through her testimony, many others become followers of Jesus. Healing and transformation comes not just for one woman, but for a whole town and community when Jesus offers living water. When Jesus offers living water. When God's river flows, it brings life, it brings healing, it brings transformation. It makes what was dead come alive. The Dead Sea. Jesus, would you let your living water flow in this town? Would it come with such urgency and with depth? Would it come and bring life in Aylsham and to the surrounding towns and villages where there is no life? Would you come? Would you bring healing and transformation? This is what we long to see. And this is the second area that we believe God has been speaking to us about as part of our vision. That we long to see lives restored by bringing God's healing and transformation. Restore lives by bringing God's healing and transformation. Just like that woman in that well, just like that impact that that had in the whole town in which she lived. As with all of our areas, we then have a fuller definition to bring restoration to individuals, families, and communities through the love and power of Jesus, to see the sick healed, the oppressed set free, the poor released, and broken lives mended. It's what we believe God has called us to. And with all each of our three areas, we have our three faith goals as well. We long to see weekly testimonies of God's healing power over all sicknesses and strongholds in people's lives, both inside and outside of the church. Aylsham Community Church has a good track record in seeing the healing power of God move, don't we? Even last year, we heard a number of testimonies of how God had healed people. But there are many more, even in this room today, who need God's healing at this time, needs his healing touch at this time. There are so many more out there in Aylsham and the towns and villages who need to know the healing and transformation, transforming power of God at work in their lives. For me, of course, this is personal with Sue. We heard last week about the importance of prayer undergirding everything that God has called us to. I need to get on my knees more and cry out to God and say, would you let your healing, living water flow again? Would it come and flow? Would it start with Sue? I'll be selfish in that. Just long to see her healed. We long to see Carol healed, don't we? She's in pain in hospital at the moment. And others as well. Peter telling us just a few weeks ago about how his ear had been healed from deafness. So many more ears that need to be opened and healed. God, let your river flow. A second faith goal, to be able to offer pathways to change for people in all of the following areas of poverty: health, education, finance, addiction, and employment, and to have seen at least 50 individuals or families set on those pathways. So Aylsham Community Church, we belong to a family of churches called Relational Mission, and as part of that family together, we have the Pathways from Poverty initiative. I'll just read to you something of what that says. In Relational Mission, we want to see long-term transforming impact in our communities. It is important that we help people to get onto sustainable pathways that move them out of poverty. But what does that look like? The following five key issues have been identified by the Center for Social Justice that cause people to find themselves in poverty in the United Kingdom. Unemployment, debt, addictions, education failure, family breakdown. As an eldership, as we met together and considered this and heard from God, we just felt stirred about this. We've had a track record in the past where we've been working into some of those areas. But it's not over yet. We long to see God move more and more in setting people free, in transforming their lives. Have a great history. We believe God is a God who works in seasons, and things come and things go. But we're so grateful for the way God was working in Angie's life and to stirred her in wanting to see reach out to people who are struggling with debt. How we became a CAP debt advice centre. That's something that we say, as we say, you know, it's for a season. We're so grateful of that, but we'll look for new ways. We don't have an exact blueprint of exactly what we're going to be doing over the next 5 years, but we continue to believe that God has continued to call us to work in that area, to see people set free from debt and finance alongside these other areas as well, health, education, addiction, and employment. One of those ways we're going to start this year, we've heard a bit about it already in some of our meetings, is just the Make Lunch Initiative. There are families in Aylsham where the children only get hot meals when they go to school, so that during the school holidays, sometimes they don't get a hot meal. How can we help? Words, works, and wonders. Sometimes it's just by doing something simple and just demonstrating the love of God by providing a child with a hot meal. It's what we're looking to do, looking to pilot that this Easter holidays. And then hopefully through that we can make friends of those children and families and reach out to them. Last area of faith goal that we've got. For Aylsham Community Church and Jubilee Family Centre to be known throughout our communities as the place to come for healing, help and transformation. Jubilee Family Centre as a building has a great reputation in the town of people knowing that they can come here for help. And that's great. Long may that continue, that people know that they can come here and whatever they are struggling with, that they can find help. But also for Aylsham Community Church to know, be known as the place to go to. Church, wherever you are, whatever your front line is, wherever you are engaging with people, that they will know that they can turn to you as people of God who can help them. And whatever their need is, whether it's an area of poverty or whether it's offering to pray for them for healing, that people will know they can turn to the church. This country has a wonderful history of the church being there for people when they need it most. And perhaps we've not seen that in latter years. But we long to see that again here in Aylsham, that the church, the body of the church, people can turn to the church when they are when they need help. That they can come to Jubilee Family Centre and find help. They may not. We may not be able to help with every issue and every problem that people have, but we may be able to at least signpost them and stand with them. Signpost them to other people who can help. Work in partnership with others as well. And we've had God speaking prophetic words to us as a church about this. Close your eyes. Now open your eyes of faith. And see what is not yet. God is taking us by the hand to lead us there. I saw four large waves behind each other with the largest at the back. The largest wave started to break over the next. The back wave was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As it broke over the next wave, that started to break. That wave is repentance. The back wave then broke over the next wave, which itself started to break. That wave is healing and restoration. The back wave broke over the last wave. That is salvation. The four waves ended as a frothy pool of turbulence. Please, Lord, send those waves. Move by your Holy Spirit. Bring healing and restoration where that needs to happen. God is another prophetic word to us. God is going to bring us into a new season of authority, anointing, and visitation. This is about knowing who we are in Christ and living it out. Our worship and prayer will be key in disarming the enemy and demolishing strongholds. We are to expect to see people being set free from addictions and bondage. We have been given the authority to declare freedom in the name of Jesus. Anointing and equipping with supernatural power to get the job done for preachers, teachers, in worship and in seeing the release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a whole body. A new season of visitation of the glory of God amongst his people, ministering angels, a heavenly presence of intimacy and power in worship and beyond. More glory moments. God's glory being revealed to an extent that cannot be explained away. Sounds great when you read it, doesn't it? But we long for it to happen. We long for it to happen. God, you have spoken. Please do it. Let your river of life flow through this place, bringing healing and transformation. Do we have a biblical mandate for this as well? Well, of course we do. So many places we could turn to in God's word. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. He's calling to his disciples to heal the sick, to see the sick healed. Galatians 2:10, they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. If you've been part of the wider New Frontiers family of churches for any length of time, you'll remember that prophetic word that Simon Pettit brought about remembering the poor. And of course, we've been commissioned to make disciples. Heal the sick, remember the poor, make disciples. The Bible tells us to do these things. God gives us the authority to do these things. And with each of our three areas of vision, we also have some areas of what are we looking to do to get there? Some key points. Equip every member of the church to be able to pray for the sick, have regular, well-publicized opportunities for people to encounter God's healing power on the streets, in our meetings, and through a dedicated prayer room at Jubilee. During the week, some people asked, is the building fit for purpose? Here's an answer, a dedicated prayer room. No, this building isn't fit for purpose. If we want to see 200 adults plus young people and children coming and worshipping regularly and coming into God's presence on a Sunday morning, then this place isn't fit for purpose. These rooms won't be big enough for the kids and youth work that we've got. We need to find a space for a dedicated healing room that we can use not only on a Sunday morning but throughout the week as well. It's not the end of the world, but this week, certainly on one of the days, it was so busy up here that I had to have a meeting with somebody out in the foyer because all the rooms were full. We need to look at this wonderful resource that God's giving us and how we can make best use of it into the future. And to equip every member of the church. Second one, be committed to befriending people, loving them, supporting them, and connecting them to help whatever their needs. Third one, develop new and existing ministries as a church. Build strong partnerships with outside ministries through which we can serve the community and offer pathways to change. There are some things that we will do together as a church, but we can't do everything. So we'll work in partnership with others. We'll hear more about that as the year goes on. There's some conversations that have been taking place already that are very exciting about how we may be working in partnership with others as well. to run regular training courses which help people to build strong relationships and healthy family life. Be ready to disciple new believers to see them set free from the past and filled with God's strength for the future. This is what we believe God is calling us to. And as Simon has said, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions, talk about this, go dig a bit deeper into this during the week at Growth Group Central. But we believe God has called us to restore lives by bringing God's healing and transformation, as well as reaching our local community and beyond with the good news of Jesus. Should we stand together? A vision like this, I think we've heard it over the last couple of weeks, starts with us crying out to God and just asking him for his river to flow. River of the Holy Spirit, river of God, bringing life and healing and transformation amongst us, amongst our town, amongst the places where we live. So I encourage you now, we're going to have a 1 minute burst of prayer together where we cry out to God and say, let your river flow. Should we do that together? Is that okay? Excellent. Okay, after three, let's raise our voices for 1 minute. Ignore the person next to you. Let's go for this. One, two, three.
I went out fishing, and you could say crazy on a cold morning. Well, I was well suited up. I had 5 layers of clothing on, and I was ready to take it on. But there was a point during the morning when I realized I was really cold. And it had just sort of crept into me. And you may well have been in that situation where you've been in a room where the heating's gone off and you haven't realized it, but all of a sudden you just you're sitting there doing something, and you stand up to move, and you realize you're really cold. Do you know what? Can you identify with that? And you just want to get into somewhere warm and just get warmed up again. And I felt God speaking to me about the reverse of that. That while Simon and Peter have been sharing, that he wants to not let coldness creep in, but he's creeping heat into us. And this whole vision, it's not like we're being thrown into a blast furnace of something totally new that's going to kind of set us ablaze just instantly. But as we begin to pray and as we begin to take the steps forward, as we begin to grab a hold of this and we pray, God is going to turn the temperature up into us gradually until all of a sudden we realize we're blazing. And it's exciting. And you may be there thinking, as Peter said, it's not a lot of new. But as we begin to look at it and begin to take a hold of it, and we begin to look at the intricacies and the impact of this, it grows in an excitement in us. It grows in an expectation in it. And as that grows and as that heat begins to build up within us, we have no choice but to say more. We're desiring more. And things like prayer, where we can say, yeah, we need more prayer. Everything needs to be undergird with prayer. It was in the prophetic word. It was in Peter's preach. It's been something that Simon encouraged us. And we can say, well, I'm kind of here. But as I see this vision, I need to get heated up in prayer. I need to get heated up in beginning to reach out to people. I need to get heated up with beginning to get excited about this. I need to be heated up in the places of faith. And so the opposite of sitting there and gradually getting colder and then all of a sudden realize I'm really cold. I'm at that place where I realize when I stand up, I'm really, really hot. This is burning inside of me. And I believe God wants to do that. And so I'm going to encourage us. I know Peter's to add a minute of prayer. But I'd like to just have a minute of saying, God, will you begin to turn the heat up in me? Will you begin to bring this, turn the light on, bring this into not just a good thoughts, but a vision and a passion that's on his heart that he's revealed to us, and he's taking us into that. And we'll be at different places of temperature to start with on that journey. We've been living with this for months as an eldership. And again, just hearing it again, there's something stirring inside of me and saying, God, I want to see this town changed. I want to see people restored. I want to see people healed. I want to see Sue dancing at the front of the church. I want to see Carol out of hospital and totally restored. I want to see the miraculous things of God that are happening amongst us. I want a reputation that this is a place for people to come. And they know out there, if they're not getting what they need, they can come here and they can find it. But more than that, they can bump into me in my workplace and in my home and they can find it because there's something burning in me. At the moment, I'm not fully ablaze with it, and I'm one of the elders. So my prayer must be, turn up the heat. Turn up the heat in me. If you're with me somewhere on that journey, I'm going to pray. Will you ask God to do that in you? Otherwise, this vision will just sit on a nice little bookmark. It'll sit as some notes in our notebook or on our iPads like mine are. It'll sit with some good thoughts. It'll breed fear. Because there's some big steps of faith that we're going to have to do, that if God doesn't show up, we're going to look really foolish. He's prophetically told that to us. And the only way we're going to do this together, is he turns up the heat in us. Father, will you come right now? And will you, wherever we're at, as cold, as warm, or as hot as we are, right where we are now, will you begin to turn that heat up? Will you cause our little blaze, that little flyer, those little flickers, that little bit of light to begin to intensify and strengthen within us? Holy Spirit, will you come right now like a mighty rushing wind and change 120 or so of us right now into a group of people who are so full of the Spirit of God that the town comes rushing to see what this noise is? That's what happened at Pentecost. The people came to see, what is this noise? And thousands were saved. Thousands were reached on that day, and the restoration process began. And then, well, I won't tell you next week. But you won't be able to stay seated where you are if you take this on. Father, warm us up to that place we're ablaze with you in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come. Please, please, please let your will be done amongst us. Here in Aylsham and the surrounding villages in the exact same way that it's done in heaven where there's no restrictions. Do that amongst us, we pray in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you set us on fire again? Would you give us the boldness and the confidence just to speak into people's lives? Just as you did, Jesus, with that woman at that well. That simple word of knowledge that saw her life transformed and many in her town come to faith for themselves. We long for that for Aylsham. We long for that for the villages around. Will you come, Holy Spirit? Will you prompt us? Will you guide us? Will you stir us afresh? For the glory of Jesus, we pray. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Wonderful.